Think of a song you really love.
Don't you want to know why you love it so much?
Well, we can't answer that.
No, but we can deep dive into it anyway.
Unless we get too sidetracked.
We're the Never Mind the Music podcast.
One musician.
And one psychologist.
Talking about iconic songs. The musical tricks that blow our minds.
And what they show us about our minds.
Join us each week as we pick apart everything from TLC to Weezer.
And from Billie Eilish to Bruno Mars, with plenty of distractions in between.
Check out Never Mind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. Halloween. Now try and survive Christmas. Silent night. Deadly night."
Hello, and welcome back into Autopsy of a Horror Movie. My name is Brecker, and I am joined by Law to discuss Silent Night, Deadly Night from 1984. Hello, Law. How are you doing?
What's going on, man? Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, yes. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everyone listening.
Hanukkah. Don't forget about Hanukkah. Is there a Hanukkah horror movie? I don't think there's a... There must be. There has to be a Hanukkah horror movie. Anyway, if there's not one, get on it, guys. Start making it.
That would be good, because that would be cool, because you could stretch that out over 8 days instead of just like the Christmas Eve, Christmas Day
Absolutely.
Sort of thing.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
That would be a fun one.
Anyways, we're not here talking about a movie that we're trying to pitch. We're talking about Silent Night, Deadly Night from 1984. This is the holiday Christmas slasher movie that is infamous. I feel like has such a cult following. And I want to shout out to everybody that follows on Instagram at Brecker Horror, because this got... we put out a poll for which holiday horror we should do, and the people spoke, and people wanted Silent Night, Deadly Night. So that's why we're talking about this today. And shocker, this is actually my first time seeing the movie. I haven't seen Silent Night, Deadly Night before
here.
This.
Get out of here.
I know. And I feel like you've mentioned to me that you've seen this before.
Of course I have. I mean, but like, you're the slasher guy. Like, you're the one who's always like, Guillermo del Toro. I'll just listen to our last episode. Guillermo del Toro should make a slasher. I love Halloween. Like, so you're the slasher guy. How is it that you never watched this legendary slasher film?
So that does kind of get into my next question, where I was going to ask you about, you know, your thoughts on like holiday Christmas horror movies. Because I gotta say, I'm not like a huge fan of this like niche subgenre of like Christmas slash like holiday horror.
Really?
And it's ironic because Black Christmas is one of my favorite horror movies, but I think I just find it kind of cheesy to, I don't know, just all the stuff that like they do to kind of like spin it into a horror movie, like making Santa the killer, or the puns with, you know, like Silent Night, Violent Night, Deadly Night, whatever. I don't know. I kind of roll my eyes a little bit, but I find Black Christmas not cheesy. Mm-hmm. And it's like Christmas is just more of like, you know, a set dressing for it. It's not, there's no like Christmas parties, or like there's no like Santa is the villain or whatever. It's kind of, it's just set dressing for this awesome horror movie. And when it's weird to say like the beats of the holiday are like intertwined into the plot too much, this is a little corny for me, but
what's
that's just
you?
Me.
That is definitely just you. I love Christmas horror movies. I mean, of course, Black Christmas is a hallmark for me. There's also, man, Violent Night. That's a movie that came out a couple of years ago. Really enjoyed that one. A Christmas Carol is actually kind of a horror tale, right? Because there's ghosts all through that tale. And so that's really, for me, where it kind of begins with, like, A Christmas Carol and then all the variations on it. But, you know, like, I just, like, Frankenstein is not a Christmas tale, but it's, like, Christmassy, it feels like, sometimes. And then beyond that, there's, like, Black Christmas. Thanksgiving is, of course, that weird Thanksgiving movie, but it's in the holiday season.
Yeah.
Christmas, Bloody Christmas, like, Terrifier 3 takes place during Christmas as well. Gremlins is a Christmas movie that is also a horror movie. You know, of course, there's The Nightmare Before Christmas. Like, I'm telling you, the more you think about it, there are a lot of horror-adjacent, horror-like movies, tales that take place around Christmas time that kind of lends itself to it. And it's kind of like this not quite a FU, but like a variation. Like, so like Christmas is supposed to be about the birth of Christ, this holy time, whatever. Why not have a twisted, effed up, nudity-filled horror movie, you know, that takes place during this time? It's the perfect time to do it. And so you coming at me and saying, oh man, it's a little corny. Man, tell me a slasher movie that's not corny. Like, tell me one that's not corny. Give me a slasher movie. Maybe you could say Scream, then Scream movies aren't corny. But they kind of start playing with corniness the further they go along, man. They are made to be corny. They're made to be cheesy. Give me good kills. Give me blood. A little bit of nudity. I'm all in. I don't care what time it takes place. Like, I love, like, there's April Fool's Day, a slasher movie. I love that one. There was a slasher movie that took place around Easter. Love that one. Like, give me a Flags Day slasher movie, and I'll watch that. like, just give me any. Like, you know, I Know What You Did Last Summer. That is a 4th of July. Like, all these holidays are oftentimes wonderful opportunities to put in random horrific deaths. I'll watch each and every one of them.
I do like the general gist of, like, holiday horror, like the other ones that you mentioned. But, like, for some reason, when it comes to, like, Christmas, I just find it, like, a little just, I don't know. I just roll my eyes when I see that Santa is a main character.
Just say that you're a hardcore Christian. I mean, just say that you don't like it when they defame the sweet baby Jesus and you're upset about it. And that's the reason why you don't like them. It's okay. Just tell the truth, man.
That's not it at all. But, like, I don't know. I think it's just because, like, I guess I'm going for, like, different. It's like blending two things and I'm going for very opposite things. Like, when I'm going to those types of movies, like I said, I like it when Christmas is like the set dressing for it. And, like, it's just happening around Christmas, but it's not, like, super intertwined into the plot, like Black Christmas. Also, Dead End is, like, a really good, it's a Christmas Eve horror movie. It takes place on Christmas Eve, but, like, the Christmas presents are, like, the only thing really that, like, come into the plot.
So you don't like Santa. That's what you're saying. You don't like it when Santa is.
I guess I don't like Santa. I guess you don't like Santa.
Okay, say that you don't like white people. Apparently that's the problem. You don't like fat white people.
Obviously that's the problem.
That's what's going on here. You don't like fat white people. By the way, those of you who don't know it, Brooker is a white guy. But the point, though, I don't mind it, man. I really don't mind it. I don't mind those kinds of things. You know, a little bit of background about me, and the listeners may be surprised to hear this about me. I love a cheesy Hallmark Christmas movie. Like, every Christmas season, those things are constantly running on my TV. Like, I don't pay very close attention to them, but, like, that whole, there's drama and we're going to kiss at the very end when the snow's coming down. I tear up, man. I don't care. I do. I'm a sucker for it. And so to give me a horror movie that does that, yo, I mean, now they're not probably going to kiss at the end and snow's going to fall down. But, like, it's the end of the movie and, like, it's Christmas and something horrific has happened. Like, that's the reason why I like things like Lethal Weapon, the first one. That's a Christmas movie. Die Hard 1 and 2, those are Christmas movies. Like, I like things set around the Christmas season. It's one of my favorite times of the year. Halloween's my number one. Christmas is definitely my number two. It's around my favorite time of the year. Give me a horror movie around it, man. I don't mind it. I'm not precious about Santa the way that you are.
I guess that's it. I've never really explored why I don't care.
We've discovered this, it. That's
I guess
what it
it's
is.
Santa. I guess you I don't just like don't Santa? Like Santa.
Okay, so what about elves? Can you deal with, like, an
evil
elf?
Oh, no, dude. I hate elves. No. I, like, when elves, like Krampus, that Krampus horror movie.
I was just about to ask about Krampus. So you don't like Krampus either? Because that's a legitimate like folk thing.
It's
that whole
funny.
Krampus thing. Yeah.
I think it's funny, and that one is shot like a Hallmark movie too. Like it mm-hmm. like it has like that warm coloring to it and everything.
Yeah.
And I like the kind of like family politics that come into it, because these are like all things that do come up around the holidays.
Right.
But I don't hate that movie, but like I'm not like a huge, like I liked watching it the first time I watched it, but I was like, I never need to see this again.
Okay, well, and, like, do you like Christmas movies? Just Christmas movies?
I like most of them, I think. Like,
you don't like classics. No, it's clear you don't like Christmas, dog. Like, I'm beginning to see what's going on. You don't like Christmas. You don't like it. That's what's going on here.
I like the classics, you know, like Elf, Home Alone. What are some other ones? It's a Wonderful Life, one of my favorites. That's a great one.
I hate
one.
That movie. I hate It's a Wonderful Life. It is so old.
Maybe
over
you
top.
Hate Christmas.
I love Christmas. I hate that sentimental movie, though. But, like, I'm trying to figure out what's going on with you, man. Because, like, you are, like, of all the people that I know, of all of them, and we're a lot of the horror people that I know, right? Of course, you're my horror bestie, but I know a lot of people who like horror movies. You're the slasher guy. Like, you are the guy who's like, I want slashers. I want this. I remember you watched Thanksgiving and you liked it. I hated that damn movie.
I like Thanksgiving, yeah.
But you watched...
Because Santa isn't in it, maybe.
Well, I mean, I didn't... But there's like some kind of pilgrim guy, right? I mean, there's something going on that's like... So it's you don't like Santa.
I guess that's it, maybe. Maybe I don't like Santa.
You don't like Santa. That's the problem.
Maybe I'm like Billy in this, and like I think he's a bad dude.
Who hurt you?
Like,
who hurt you? Who
Santa.
Hurt you? Santa hurt you? Tell me who hurt you. I will go after and I'll tell Santa what's up. But yeah, man, I love it. I never understood why you were like, I've never seen this movie. Like, I never understood it. So I'm going to assume, therefore, that you didn't like this since he dressed up as Santa. But he's not Santa, but he dressed up as Santa.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of like the slasher elements in this that I think are like awesome and right. Like the kills mm-hmm. are like pretty good. Mm-hmm. The comedy in this is just it's so good.
Well, it is a comedy. It's supposed to be a comedy as well. Yeah.
To your point, I was kind of doing the thing where I was like kind of checking the runtime every now and then just to see how close we were getting.
Are you serious? This is an hour and 20 something minute movie. What are you talking about? You were checking the runtime.
I can't with you.
What is going on?
I don't know. I guess we'll get into it.
There's a reason why he is the way he is. We're not going to get into this now. Listener, just understand that your favorite podcast host doesn't like Santa.
Yes, write in if you also don't like Santa, if you have also been hurt by the jolly
in and say you don't like Santa, I don't want you listening to this podcast. That's what I'll say. Like, you can go listen to whatever the hell else you want to listen to. Don't listen to this, because I love Santa. Santa's a homeboy. I grew up in the house. My mom used to collect little porcelain Santas, but they were never white Santa. There was always like black variations on Santa from around the world. I love Santa, man. Like, I love it. Get out of here with this Santa.
I can't wait to tell Kat that this breakthrough through therapy that I had with you now. That's like, you know what my issue is? I found out I don't like Santa Claus. That's my problem.
I'm gonna tell you this, man. Your life is gonna change drastically when you have two kids in the house and they believe in Santa, and you're gonna be like, you know what? F that dude. You see what happens when the kids find that out.
Oh, man. Okay. So before we get into this therapy session for me, Silent Night, Deadly Night, I want to go over the credentials for this. This was directed by Charles E. Seller Jr., written by Paul Kami and Michael Hickey. And they also wrote the next two sequels for this. I believe this movie stars Lillian Chauvin as Mother Superior, Gilmer McCormick as Mother Margaret or Sister Margaret, Tani Nero as Pamela, the store employee that Billy is smitten with, and then Robert Brian Wilson as Billy himself, the murderous Santa Claus in this movie. This movie had a budget of $1 million, and it opened around the same time as A Nightmare on Elm Street on November 9th, 1984.
Did it really?
They had the same opening weekend, which is kind of crazy that these two were going up against each other. Its opening weekend grossed $1.4 million. and his total global box office was $2.49 million. And I think I saw that this movie got pulled from theaters like after a week because there was such like an uproar from parents that they thought that this was blasphemous to make Santa the killer in it. So it had a very short theatrical run.
I mean, but like, it's not Santa that's actually the killer. I mean, we'll get into this. Also, I want to say,
at the same time, this is rated R. It's not like your kids are going to see the movie.
What kids are going to watch this movie? Why are you taking? And we'll get into that in a second. Although I do want to say, a little known movie called Silent Night, Bloody Night, was made in 1972, 12 years before this one. And I always felt like the makers of this film saw like that film and kind of, they're not exactly the same at all, but it just seems like there's some kind of relationship between these two besides the similarity of the title. And Silent Night, Bloody Night, I would actually say people should watch that. It's not quite a horror movie. It's a little bit more dramatic. It's horror kind of, but it's a little bit more dramatic. But I really enjoyed that one too, but this is definitely the one that, you know, is memorable. And we should say they're making a remake of it this year. Well, they made a remake of it. It's going to release, what, in a week, I think? Like, it's going to release really, really soon. So that was also part of the reason why we thought it might be good to go back and revisit the original, because there are many people who may not have seen this film, because, like, the weirdos, the sickos like us, we know this film, but a lot of people just really don't know this film. And so it's probably wise to kind of go back and revisit this, particularly after we see the new one and kind of compare that one to this one, although we probably will do an episode about that film, but it'll just be good to compare the two.
Oh, snap. So I'm looking. So yes, you're right. This does come out soon. This is coming out. The remake is coming out December 11th, which is pretty soon. And it's, so the guy who's playing Billy is Rowan Campbell, the guy that played Corey in Halloween Ends.
Halloween Ends. Yeah. That guy's going to do that.
That's awesome. Good for that dude.
Yeah, it felt like he fell off the map there for a little bit, but he's back. But yeah, also, you know, shout out to Five Nights at Freddy's Part 2. I think that comes out to this like today. So it seems like there hasn't been very much said about that particular film. I wonder if they're not expecting it to do as well as the original did. But I'm going to go watch it at some point this weekend. But yeah, that movie's coming out too. So, you know, they are trying to, and really, if you pay attention, they do release horror movies around Christmas time pretty consistently.
Yeah, I mean, Scream, the first Scream movie came out in December. So, yeah, they definitely do this.
So clearly you like holiday horror, you just don't like Santa.
I think that's it. I think, you know, I think we...
Are you serious? Like, you really don't like Santa? Like, that's what it is.
I don't know. I mean, like, when I watch, like, when I watch, like, other, like, you know, through and through Christmas movies, I guess I'm not, like, as... I definitely don't go to the ones, I guess, where, like, he is, like, the main person in it. I don't know. But...
Yeah, what about Red One? Red One came out a couple years ago. Maybe even last year. Red One, it's all about Santa. Did you not watch that?
I didn't see that, no.
You don't like Santa, dog. Like, that's what's going on. You don't like him. You don't. I'm serious. Like, did you have, like, Santa stuff in the house up or anything like that?
No. Well, growing up, no. We do have a Santa downstairs.
Is it up and displayed?
Yeah.
Did Kat put it up or did you put it up?
I put it up. She did pick it out several years ago, but I put it up.
That's Kat. That's not you. That's her. That's you being a good husband. No, you don't like Santa, dog. That's what's going on. You don't like Santa.
It is also a black Santa that we have. So.
Oh, yo, that's why I mess with Kat. I love her. What's Kat? What's up? I love Kat. That's wonderful. A black Santa? That's what? In a white household? You made my day, man. You made it. Thank you.
It's like a 3.5 foot tall black Santa we have downstairs, just like chilling in our living room. But yeah, I'll send you a picture of it.
Yeah, send me a picture of it. Where is she from? Is she from like the East Coast or something? Where'd she come with having a black Santa? Where's this come from?
So like when we were in grad school, we bought, well, she really wanted it and our friends gifted it to us as like a Christmas gift because she wanted it that much. We were like in Lowe's just like getting Christmas decorations and they had all the different Santas. And honestly, the black Santa looked the happiest out of all the ones they had because the white Santas just looked creepy. We're like, all right, he actually looks jolly. We'll bring him home. or we want to bring him home, and then like our friends got it for us.
That is wonderful. All right, we're going off the rails here, but that is wonderful. That's wonderful. I love that.
I'll post a picture of that on Instagram so people can see it too. He does look really happy. But
okay, so you don't like white Santas, but you do like black Santas. We're starting to figure this out. We're starting to get to the core of this. We're figuring it out.
Man, okay. Well, I guess like I'll kick it to you first. Like for like your history with Silent Night, Deadly Night. Like why do you? I guess like why do you like this? Like I'm assuming you like this movie, but like you know what about like Silent Night, Deadly Night? Do you?
Honestly, I really do not know, man. Okay, so I don't know when I first saw this movie. I have no idea when I first saw it. It must have been, golly, 20 years ago. I don't know when I first saw this movie. I don't know what was the impetus for me to watch this movie. It's not like I saw, like, I remember the first time I saw Scream. I remember what led up to it. I remember how I felt about it. This movie, it is not like that. I have no idea why I watched this film. I randomly put it on, but I just loved it because it is so cheesy and schlocky and campy, and it does not take itself seriously. It is making fun of itself as it's also simultaneously being a horror movie. It knows what kind of horror movie it is. There's a scene early in the film after he goes to visit his grandfather. And his grandfather's freaking weird. And he's like comatose until his parents leave and he comes and Santa's gonna get you, whatever. Anyway. And then like there's this this scene where there's this Santa who's robbed a store, then attacks his car, and he randomly rips open the blouse of the mother.
Yeah.
For no reason. And it's very aggressive, makes me very uncomfortable. But at the same time, it knows what movie it is. It knows it's got to have that, right? And so it's just over the top. It's silly. I don't take it seriously at all. It doesn't take itself seriously. That scene, for example, probably shouldn't have been in that. Like, it would not be in a film now, but it makes sense to have it in the film then. But then it's just, and the acting is not great. And then it does a wonderful job, I think, honestly, of telling the backstory of how this guy got so messed up that he does the things that he does. So he makes him, yes, a villain, but also a very sympathetic villain because you see him become this guy.
Interesting.
I like it, man. I just like, is it great cinema? Is it up there with Frankenstein and Sinners? No, absolutely not. You know, is it something that I'm going to show my class about, you know, my film theory class and talk about the lighting and the camera movement and, you know, the way that it fades, you know, and the editing? No. But is it a fun movie to put on? Absolutely. It is.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that I think just kind of turned me off about this was that scene that you mentioned beginning, kind of like with the sexual violence. There's two of them, two scenes of that in this movie. And I feel like it isn't really needed. And it definitely finds ways to insert nudity throughout the movie without it having to be like, you know, like a molestation scene. So, the other sex scenes in this is like borderline like softcore pornography.
Even borderline; it's definitely softcore.
It just is. So, yeah, I think I'm a little put off by that because like other slasher movies that are cheesy, equally campy, equally knows what it is. It doesn't have like the sexual sort of like violent part of it. So I think maybe I'm just a little turned off by that. I think. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, everything you said is true, and like you know, with the I like the kills in this. I mean, so I approached my I don't want to call it review, but like my I approached my kind of like analysis of this of like kind of breaking it down with the Carol J. Clover analysis of how, you know, she like describes like the essential elements of a slasher movie, and I mean, this checks a lot of boxes. You know, we do have our killer that is sexually repressed with the psychosexual fury that comes from family trauma. The weapons, no firearms are used by Billy. Mm-hmm. But Listen to this rap sheet of weapons that he uses throughout this movie.
Okay.
A string of lights, an axe, a hammer, a bow and arrow, a children's bow and arrow toy.
Yeah, I loved it.
Box cutter, deer antlers, and full-on defenestration is how he kills someone in this. It's good. It's a good lineup of kills.
The thing is, I think, and it made me uncomfortable too. And honestly, if they had by the way, don't watch the sequel of this movie, because the first 30 minutes of the sequel is just a recap of this. It is terrible. Anyway, but if those scenes had been pulled out of this movie, I would have loved it 100%. I just love it like 85% or so, because those scenes did make me very uncomfortable. And I think that in the 80s, it would not have made anyone uncomfortable. I mean, it clearly didn't make anyone uncomfortable in the 80s. Maybe it did. I don't know. But for me and my taste now, it definitely made me uncomfortable to see that. I understood that they were like, yo, we got to get nudity in this movie somehow. You know, that's just what the people want. But I didn't love that, right? There's no reason to kind of do that. It was kind of over the top, unnecessary. But aside from those two scenes, I'm all in on this film, man. I just am. Like, I really, really enjoyed this film. I think that it knows what it is. It gives you what it wants. And it's twisted in that this character that is supposed to be this jolly, loving character all throughout the movie has been told to this kid, he's out to get you. You can't be naughty, yada, yada, yada. And so it leads him to kind of don, you know, the Santa costume and engage in killing. What more do you want, man? Like, what more do you want?
I also want to talk about the terrible place part of this, which is another element that Carol J. Clover talks about. And what's kind of fun about this movie is that I think there's like one or two, like, I'll say like real terrible places that we could put in this, but it's kind of like the Michael Myers-ing of this, where the terrible place is your own backyard. Like, this movie does have sequences of him just, you know, going through the neighborhood into random houses. The terrible place is your safe space. A park where people are sledding, you know, stuff like this. But what I thought was going to end up happening, because, you know, we do spend a lot of time in the toy store with him going through and killing all the employees, which is a fun part of this movie. And I was thinking, like, oh shit, is this whole movie going to be like him, like, in the toy store killing people, and like other people keep coming in and check in and see what's going on. And I thought that would have been kind of hilarious. No, the toy store turning into the terrible place for about like 5 or 10 minutes of this movie, I think, is actually kind of smart, because, you know, it is Santa as, you know, the villain, he'll dressed up as him.
Right.
And I do. So I think like the toy store, toy shop, you know, workshop kind of like fits into the theme of that. Like, where would Santa's terrible place be if he was a slasher killer? The mood of it, how the power goes out. So now it's like a darkly lit toy store, and it's just very sinister. He even uses the toy bow and arrow to kill someone. So like all that I thought was really fun in a cool, cheesy slasher way.
Man, do you remember Toys R Us? Man.
Oh, dude.
I miss like toy store, like just a store that is set aside for like now you got to go to like Target and Walmart. Like, are there even toy stores anymore? Like, I don't.
You're lucky if like you have like a mom and pop shop in your town. We do have one downtown, but it's hard to come across.
Like, this is just a harken back to a different era. But anyway, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's really smart for them to turn that toy store into, as you said, the terrible place. I mean, and it's funny that it's Santa that's doing the killing. I mean, not really Santa. It's not Saint Nick, but whatever. A guy dressed up as Santa doing the killing, and he's doing a lot of that killing in the toy story. I mean, in the toy store. Toy Story. I'm looking forward to that movie that's coming out here soon, though. I'm really interested in what they're going to do with that movie. But anyway, I mean, I'm very interested. You know, I was very taken by it. I don't remember my first initial reaction. Like, I was just so on the ride the first time that I saw it and was just kind of eating it up. And was like, oh man, that's kind of freaking awesome. That I didn't think about it. But like, thinking back on it, man, I forgot, you know, until I watched it, that he killed somebody with Christmas lights. I forgot that he killed somebody with, like, dude. I mean, there's not going to be a lot of deep analysis here, but it's freaking awesome. Like that's what I have to say. It's freaking awesome that you get a kill with Christmas lights. You get a kill with a kid's bow and arrow. Come on, man. Like, come
that's
on.
Hilarious.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it is.
Even though you didn't like it.
Yeah, I think I'm just, like I said, I think I was just so turned off by those two things, and then also just, I don't know, like the like I appreciate like the slashery elements of this, and like I could like I'm a pretty posy guy, like I could talk myself into liking most stuff, but like I said, that's why I'm kind of like approaching this with the Clover kind of like template for this, you know, and finding how like this does kind of fill into these things. And with mm-hmm. the I know you said that you didn't want to go too deep into this, well, buckle up, buddy. So
here we go
Brooker's about to do it. He didn't eat milk and cookies in this movie. What's happening? just call back to our Frankenstein episode. But the psychosexual fury in this, I think, is kind of interesting because, yes, you think, like, you know, it's like kind of coming back from his like repressed memories of like his mom being assaulted. But there's like this whole thing of Mother Superior punishing mm-hmm. you know, people for having sex, and then Definitely. He gets spanked for, I guess, being a peeping Tom, I guess.
Well, he got spanked. My way that I understood that, he got spanked because he was not what he was supposed to be, right? He was supposed to go straight out, and instead of coming straight out, he went and saw something that he shouldn't have saw. So I didn't get him getting punished for seeing that, but rather for not being where he was supposed to be.
Okay, that makes sense. But it's like, it's Mother Superior is now like tying, so now he has seen, like, you know, non-consensual sex, which is bad, mm-hmm. and now he has seen consensual sex, but he is also tied to punishment to him. So like sex period across the board is bad to him. So like whether he comes in and saves the day, if he also kills the victim in that he kills Pamela after he kills the assaulter, but then when he sees, like, you know, consenting teens or young adults, whatever, having crazy sex on a pool table, my God, while babysitting, he's like, nope, this is bad as well. So
I mean, well, it is bad. I mean, they're babysitting and they're having sex on a pool table. Come on, man, it is bad. But the thing is, though, the film does a really good job. Like, of it's cheesy, it's over the top. But it does a good job of explaining how he got to be this way.
This is true. And
within a, what, 80-minute runtime of explaining how he got to be this way, why he is this way, why... Because oftentimes, there's like a subtext in slasher movies that sex equals death, but it's really not explored, really, right? Here, it is explored, and it is explained why he thinks the way that he does and why he kills people who are engaged in sexuality. Because... yes, it's bad that the guy sexually assaulted her, but it's also bad that she engaged, like, that she was kind of tainted. She was kind of naughty. And so it explains why he did what he did. I'm telling you, there's some depth here. There really is.
And they even have the whole sequence where he's having, like, he's fantasizing about himself having yes. sex. And then he, even in his own fantasy, gets punished for it.
It leads to death, right? I'm like I said, like it is a slasher, but it is the more I talk about it with you, there is more to the slasher than just slashing. Like, there is some intellectual thought put into it, which is probably why they're going to remake it, because there is something there to kind of explore and kind of think about.
And I will say, it is cool that they do this whole kind of like time. Not timelines, but, you know, like progression of Billy growing mm-hmm. up, and like Definitely. These different like developmental milestones he's hitting, and like how he's being impacted and how he is the person that he is today. So that is like kind of interesting, and, you know, kind of like this is kind of getting into subgenre talk, but like it is like a cool like way that they present like an origin story for a slasher killer, you know, mm-hmm. it's the complete opposite of Michael Myers, right? Where we have no idea what was his breaking point, like what led him to be how he is. But here we're getting that peek behind the curtain. So that is really interesting. And it makes me feel like that the movie, like it throws his hat, its own hat, into the ring of, like, you know, hey, we're the nature versus nurture debate. We're saying it is nurture for sure. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would say that completely. I mean, because yeah, it is definitely nurture that caused him to be a killer. But I don't think it's also saying that it can't be nature. It's just saying that in his case, it was nurture that caused him to be a killer.
Interesting. Well, and then but with all the sequels, because, you know, like his brother.
Okay, I don't listen to sequels. Don't talk to me about sequels. Okay. I don't watch sequels. Get out of here. We're not talking about sequels. The sequels are trash. The sequels are really bad. Like, we're not going into the sequel. Like with Halloween, okay. Friday the 13th, okay. But like with this and Nightmare on Elm Street, I don't want to hear about the sequels. Like, I don't like any of the sequels. No, I will not allow it. Stop it.
So one thing that this movie does,
I'm being an asshole, but I'm being so serious. The sequels are so bad, man.
Oh yeah, no, I'm normally not a sequel guy either. one last thing I was going to talk about with the Carol J. Clover template of this is one of the, you know, to you, what do you think is like one of like the main staples of a slasher movie?
I mean, well, it's got to be the kills, obviously. And also, there has to be a killer with... Sometimes there's motivation, sometimes they're not. But I think in order for a slasher to be a slasher, there has to be a killer, right?
Yes, definitely killer and, you know, the kills in themselves as well.
Yeah,
but we're missing one of, like, the biggest tropes that there's not What's a that? Final girl in this.
Oh, that's very true. That's very true. But I'm trying to think... Is this pre-Final Girls stuff? Like, what?
It's 1984. You know, Halloween's already come out. Black Christmas has already come out. That's Texas true. Chainsaw's already come out. So we are at least three Friday 13th movies deep.
It's deviating away from it then. Like, and it has to be intentional for them to deviate away from it then.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of interesting. It's keeping Billy as our protagonist, right?
Definitely.
Like, you know, it's not giving us the POV, really, of the victims or even one victim that we are with the whole movie. It's just him going on his rampage.
You know, that is a very interesting take. I never thought about it like that, because outside of what was that movie you did a thing about it, about the killer walking through the woods. It came out recently.
A Violent Nature.
This might be the only movie other than In a Violent Nature or, you know, you might know more, that follows the killer and uses the killer point of view and doesn't take the point of view of the victims. Is this one of the first ones? Is this the only other one?
There's like some other, like, more that are like, they're kind of satire though. Like, Behind the Mask, is.
Yeah, but that's satire. But like a legitimately serious movie. Outside of this one and that one. I can't think of one. Right. So maybe this might be kind of innovative, because you do follow his point of view. I never thought about it like that, but you're right. Most slashers, you do take on, like, the killer, you see the killer, but he's not the main character, right? He comes in and he leaves or whatever. You see his wake, but you very rarely follow the killer all the way through. And it can be like In a Violent Nature, where it's kind of boring because it's in the woods or whatever. Or it can be like this, where it's festive and all kind of stuff. And it's not boring and it's really engaging. I've never thought about it like that, but that's a good point.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. This is me just playing devil's advocate. It could just be, you know, hey, we only have $1 million. Let's just not add another character that I have to pay.
No, that's not what's going on here. You know, that's not what's going on. I mean, it could be. But even when they have low budgets, they tend to follow the victim. You know, like, that's the formula of almost all these. I've seen how many slashers? Well over 100, probably. Right. And they all follow the victim. This is intentional. Something's going on here.
You know, while, okay, I think I did just think of one that I think might follow this, and my memory is a little shady, but and this is very apropos since Stranger Things is out, but Joe Keery, the guy who plays Steve in Stranger Things, he has a horror movie called Spree, and he's the killer
that.
In it.
I have seen that. And yeah, I have seen that.
That's don't we point. Just follow him? I don't think we really know the
victims. Yeah, I think you do. I think you, yeah. Yeah, you do. You do. But is that really a slasher? I mean, I guess it is a slasher.
I don't know. I don't know that is a slasher. I think it's like more, it's probably just like found footage with kills.
With kills. Yeah, because like he's like a, it's like an Uber driver or something like that. Like he's something like that. And he's killing. But you're right that we do follow his perspective. But in the context of a slasher, I don't think we do. Now, found footage makes more sense because with found footage, you have to follow the perspective of the person who's like holding the camera. And true. There have been films where the killer is holding the camera, but it's not quite the slasher, but the killer is holding the camera. There's a movie that came out that's on Netflix. I'm not Netflix. It's on Shudder. I can't remember the name of it, but that does that. It's a girl. I can't remember. She's from New Zealand. It doesn't matter. But the point, though, is that as far as in a pure slasher where it's not found footage and you follow the killer, not very many movies like this.
Yeah. So I will give it props for that. And you know what? You know, as we're talking about it,
it sounds like you're liking it more and more the more we talk.
I'm warming up to it a little bit more as we're diving deeper into it. So maybe my rating might go up.
Come on in. Come on. You're going to watch it again and you're going to like it even more. Come on in, man. Now, just don't watch the sequels. The sequels will ruin it for you. But come on in, man.
I guess, do you want to, I know we've kind of talked about subgenre kind of already.
We got to do it. We got to do it, man. Yeah, we got to do it. We got to do it.
Let's talk about a little bit more. So, you know, obviously, the holiday Christmas slasher is this, I mean.
Well, okay, hold on, pause. Did you just invent an entire genre? Name for me five holiday Christmas slashers. Name five, because I bet you can't do it. I can't
think
of
this,
any.
I mean, this, Black Christmas, all the remakes for that.
No. You can't count remakes as their own movie. No. You name two movies. Movies. You can't. They're remakes.
Okay, fine. Name. Black Christmas. Black. Okay, this. Silent Night, Deadly Night. Black Christmas. Right. Silent Night, Deadly Night sequels. I'm kidding.
No, you can't do sequels.
All right. You can't do it. It's a Wonderful Knife. That came out years ago.
Is that a slasher? I guess it is. It is.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I know there's more. This isn't a genre I really dive into.
But I'm trying to say you just invented a genre. Like, you just trying to say this is a holiday Christmas slasher. And I'm trying to tell you there's not many of these. There's not. It's a holiday movie. It's a slasher. There are not many holiday Christmas slashers. There's not. You just invented a genre.
So it's this. Is there other things that this kind of falls into? I mean, it's revenge, kind of.
It's revenge. I would say it's a psychological thriller, psychological horror, you know, because you get that. It's a comedy. I think it's definitely a comedy, and it's intended to be a comedy. It is a cult movie, a cult classic. I don't know if that's really a genre of film, but that's what it kind of falls into. I'm trying to think, what else? What else? Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the cult thing was a really good shout for this. I don't know if there's like too much else that this like really falls into. Can we say coming of age with the Billy growing up?
No. It is. It's coming of age. It's a coming of age of a serial killer, but it's a coming of age.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. It's a family drama.
Kind of. Kind of. I mean,
in a way, it's a family drama. I'm stretching here, but I mean, I think that it's all those things.
Yeah, so I mean, it is doing things that is inventive for the genre that we are creating.
It's softcore porn.
That is a significant percentage of this that we can say.
Yeah, it's all these things, and it's a Christmas movie. It's all these things. It's all together.
Of course, Christmas movie. Okay, let's. All righty, let's go ahead and move on to the fear analysis. According to Dr. Carl Albrecht, there are five types of fears that humans share psychologically. And those fears are the fear of death, extinction, mutilation, body invasion, loss of autonomy, separation, abandonment, rejection, and then finally, humiliation, shame, worthlessness, i.e. the death of ego. Obviously, death is there. You know, all over this.
Mutilation is there too.
True. Especially the deer antlers mm-hmm. kill, which is pretty rad. That's a good one.
It's a wonderful kill. Loss of autonomy, maybe? I mean, because like he is put into this orphanage and he's forced to do things that he doesn't want to do. I don't know. Does that qualify?
I was wondering that just like how, I mean, like you're like, because you know, it like how much of autonomy do you lose by being put into like a system like that?
Mm-hmm.
So that was something I was wondering about. And I feel like shame is a big one.
Shame is a huge one. Shame is a huge one. He is, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's taught that sexuality is naughty, you know, literally the language they use, that is naughty. And so anytime he has any kind of sexual urges, which is natural, we're human beings, is what we have, you know, he feels shame for it. And so I think that's definitely one of them. And maybe some shame for what happened. I don't know if it's shame, but some shame. Like, I'm trying to figure out how does his fear of Santa fit into this analysis? Because that is what's driving this, right? The fact that he has been taught that Santa is not a jolly guy in the same way that you were taught when you were younger, that Santa is not a jolly guy. And that's the reason why you hate Santa so much. Like, he hates Santa. Matter of fact, I think I discovered it. You saw yourself in William. Like, you saw yourself. You saw a man who did not like Santa. And because he did not like Santa, it made you reflect upon your relationship with Santa. And that's the reason why you don't like the film as much as you should. But the point, though, is that his fear of Santa, his thinking of Santa is like a bad guy. Like, where does that fit into this fear analysis? Because that is really what's driving all this happening on the screen.
Yeah, no, I mean, it feels more complex than just saying shame and like, where is that like kind of coming from? And like everything you said, and it's like kind of coming from that Santa isn't there to reward you, but he's there to punish you,
right,
really.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And like the reward is not being punished. And it's kind of like this, I guess, like maybe this shame of like, you know, we all are guilty of something that is warranting punishment. And like maybe that there's like this inherent, I don't know, like guilt that he's just like that he feels like all people are carrying. I don't know.
Well, the more I think about it, I'm thinking back to the scene early in the film where the grandfather's in this comatose state, the parents go off, and William is there with his grandfather. And the grandfather goes to him and he says, have you been good all year, or something like that? And he says, no, I have not been good all year. And he says, well, then because you have not been good all year, like you made some mistakes, whatever, because you have not been good all year, you therefore are going to get the wrath of Santa, or something like that happens. And so maybe that's where shame comes in. The shame that he knows that he cannot be good all year, that he's going to mess up, that he's going to make mistakes, and that he has some shame over it. Maybe that's where the shame part comes in, but it still doesn't cover the Santa part of it, the fear of Santa. But maybe that's where the shame comes in.
Yeah, it's also making me realize that his grandpa is the harbinger of this movie.
He definitely is.
Which I somehow didn't pick up on
until
now.
He has all the hallmarks of a, like, the weird quirkiness.
He's the crazy Ralph.
Yeah, he has all the hallmarks of a harbinger. And I still don't know what's going on. Like, what's going on with that grandpa? Like, does he really have mental issues? Is he faking? What's going on with that guy? Because we never really revisit him.
I feel like we got to know what was revealed to his parents when the doctor is like, I need to speak to y'all privately.
Mm-hmm.
And because we don't know what that conversation was. And we don't know if it was like, hey, he's getting worse. He is getting more violent. He's like, I would not have left Billy alone with him right now in that room.
And honestly, but, like, what's going on with the parents? Like, what parent? And this is a lesson for you, Brooker. You're gonna have kids soon. Don't leave kids alone with weird old people. Like, you don't know what's gonna happen. You don't know what they're gonna tell them. You don't know what they're gonna do. Like, there, I have so many questions about all that's going on in this film. Like, why did those parents think it's a good idea to leave this little kid with this guy? It was in a crazy house. I didn't get it.
Yeah, for real. And it's diving deeper or cementing itself more into what Carol J. Clover talks about for the killers, with how, like, they come from, like, traumatic, broken families, and, like, that the grandpa is the one kind of, like, instilling these fears into Billy. Is just cementing itself even more into this trope. So, which is kind of cool that it's doing it, honestly. But yeah, the grandpa is just nutso in this. And yeah, there's a whole nother, like, it's an ingredient in this movie that I totally forgot about until now.
And another thing, and this is completely random, but, like, is that how they used to travel with babies back in the day? Because that baby was not in a car seat.
No car seat.
You know, so did they just, like, hold babies in the 80s? Like, is it a miracle that I'm alive? because that baby was just, like, chilling in the car. It was a different time, man. It was a different time.
Oh, my God. This just came in under the gun. So I just Googled it. When did car seats become mandatory? And according to Google, car seats did not become mandatory until 1985, one year after this movie.
Man, it is a... Holy crap. Like, I was born in 1981. It's a miracle I'm here, man. Like, I cannot believe that I was not in the car seat for that many years. Holy crap. I got to ask my mom about that.
Yeah, maybe your mom was like, no, we're putting him into
man, a car seat. Knowing my mom, it's a miracle I'm here. It's a miracle I'm here.
Well, I mean, you know, if we want to get deep into it, I think it is kind of the horror spin on, like, the biblical allegory in this. You know, instead of, like, the wise men traveling to baby Jesus, you know, we have the family traveling to crazy grandpa, right, in there. And, you know, we're bringing the gifts of, you know, seeing your grandkids, but now you're actually going to traumatize them.
Man, holy crap. I'm just thinking about that, because I remember when I was watching it, I was like, man, that baby is just chilling. It's just raw dogging it out there in the streets, man. It's crazy that baby survived. Huh. Sorry.
No, you're good. Getting back to the fear analysis, was there any other fears, or do you want to get into, like, kind of, like, I guess we talk about, like, scariest scenes from this movie?
I mean, I do think that the younger brother seeing his brother, you know, kind of devolve and all that kind of stuff, that did bring up some kind of fears for me. I'm an only child. I have no siblings, because no one would be able to kind of put up with me. But if I was a younger brother and I saw my older brother kind of devolving the way that he was, I probably would have had some kind of fear, something going on with that. But I really couldn't put into words exactly what's going on there. But I would have some fear with that.
Yeah, I could definitely... I could definitely see that. Yeah, I do have, I have one younger sister, but we, do my you? Aunt and uncle, do have a younger sister, and my
how
aunt and
she?
Uncle kind of, she's 20 new, hold on.
Okay, you're a bad big brother. You're a terrible big brother. You're a bad big brother.
She's 28 or 29.
I hope she doesn't listen to this.
She definitely doesn't. Okay. And I'm like 2.5-3 years older than her, so she's about 29, 30. But my aunt and uncle kind of raised us from when I was 14, and they have three younger kids. So I feel like I have, like, three other siblings with them. And me and his oldest son, who I am 5 years older than, growing up, we shared a room together, and, like, you know, we're classic, you know, like, brother stuff, you know, like, we'd get into trouble with each other and wrestle and all this stuff. But yeah, no, I mean, like, I've seen him go through, battle his own demons and go through his own stuff. Wow. Okay. You know, and yeah, I could definitely say, you know, there is a lot of, I guess, like, fears and, like, I guess, like, you know, like, trauma that kind of comes from that, and just kind of seeing that unfold is definitely, like, hard on the whole family. So right. I think that's a good shout for something like this, and that we see in this movie with Billy and, is it Richie?
I don't remember what the kid's name is. I think it's Richie.
Yeah,
you're probably right.
Yeah. So I guess, like, for scariest scenes in this movie, I mean, you know, it's a cheesy horror movie, but I gotta say, him, when he comes to kill Cindy and Dennis, when he comes to kill the young adults or teens that are babysitting on Christmas Eve, when he, like, goes, like, full Jack Nicholson from The Shining and axe down the door, I thought, like, all, I mean, like, it's like, you know, I'm not actually scared watching it, but I'm like, this is kind of, you know, this is a home invasion. And that's terrifying.
It's creepy. It's definitely creepy. Yeah, I was never scared by it either, but it's definitely creepy though.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I mean, this isn't really a, like, were you scared by anything in this movie? Like, because I wasn't like, it's just, and maybe it's just me. I'm not really scared by slashers anymore. And maybe it's because I've seen too many of them. Because I kind of know the formula, I know what to look for. I watch slashers. And I take that back. I will say that when I went to the movies to watch Halloween Kills, I was scared because it was some tension in that movie that really kind of got me. Particularly when Michael Myers was killing the gay couple, that scared me. But anyway, but the point though is that slashers typically don't scare me, particularly 80s slashers. You go more for the kills, the surprise, the story sometimes. Not really for the scares though.
Yeah, no, I agree. The slashers rarely scare me. I think it's like, I could see how, like, the scene was crafted to be scary. And, you know, if I were someone that wasn't watching slashers often, maybe I would be scared of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, like, frame it in that way. So I can, like, see, like, the home invasion part of it would be, like, very, like, creepy. Honestly, for me, I think there's the, I don't know. I think, like, the whole, like, orphanage stuff and, like, Billy as a kid there, I think, like, that is, like, you know, a fear of, like, losing your parents and, like, being kind of, like, put into something that's completely out of your control. And now you're having to listen to Mother Superior and being tied to your bed at night because you got up in the middle of the night.
That was kind
of, like, I think,
up.
Like, all
that was so jacked. Yeah. Up. I couldn't believe that, man.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think the last thing I had, this kind of goes back to shame.
Mm.
I don't know if it's shame or, like, maybe just like, oh fuck, I fucked up kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
When it is also kind of funny, but when the cops kill Father O'Brien dressed up as Santa in this, that cop, oh my God. And then him getting yelled at by Mother Superior. But it's so funny how they reveal that. They're like, oh, that was Father O'Brien. He was dressing up as Santa for the kids, and he didn't hear you because he's deaf.
I mean, but, like, that's funny. And you know, I think they intentionally put that in there. And the fact that he was deaf, that's just funny. And it reminds me, I keep going back. I don't know why. I keep going back and watching Halloween 2 for some reason because I'm a twisted person. But I keep laughing.
This is a good movie.
It is a good movie. But whenever that was the Ben Tramer who got caught on fire, he's wearing the mask. It grows funnier and funnier to me every single time I watch it. And that reminded me of this, the fact that he was just wearing the wrong thing at the wrong time and he couldn't help it.
You know, there are some, like, actual real life ties between this movie and the Halloween franchise and other franchises.
Really?
Yeah. We do have that one joke of the cops pulling up to that house where they see Santa, like breaking into the window, and they think it's Billy, but it's just the dad doing, like, a Santa Claus thing for his kid.
Mm-hmm.
The dad dressed up as Santa Claus, he actually plays Michael Myers in Halloween 5, I think it is.
Really?
Yeah. So wow. That's a fun tie. And then the couple having sex on the pool table, the woman in that scene, she's in one of the Nightmare on Elm Street sequels, and as, like, one of, like, the she's one of the victims in one of those movies. And
really?
And then the guy on the pool table with her, he is the shock jock from Halloween 5 or 6. I get them confused, but the one with Paul, I think it's the one with Paul Rudd, I think. But he's one of them has like the DJ shock jock. That's mm-hmm. him. Wow. So yeah, there's some real life ties to Halloween in this.
Holy crap. Had no idea.
But I guess those are like all the things I have for the fear analysis and I guess like scariest parts of this movie.
Yeah, and it's not really scary or anything like that, but it's fun. Oh my gosh, message. Oh, here we go.
Moving on to the message or interpretation of this movie. I feel like we have had deep conversation, like we've explored, you know, some like deep parts of this movie with the psychosexual theory.
But is there a message like Santa is evil? Is that the message of the film?
I think the message is like, you know, if you're, you know, hey, like, you know, if you are the guardian of a child that has obviously some like repressed trauma and that you're seeing in their drawings, get that kid into therapy. Don't do the exposure therapy thing yourself. Don't take that into your own hands.
Tying kids to beds is bad. Look, there is some deep stuff in the film. I am really impressed with some of the depth they go into William's or Billy's psychological trauma. But is there a message of this movie? I don't think there's a message, man. I don't know if there's a message. Like, do you go to slashers to learn messages? Like, you get that from the terrible It's a Wonderful Life, that movie that should not be watched during Christmas because it's terrible. But you don't get that. Yeah, I said it. Listener, I said that. But you don't. Is there a message of this movie? I don't think there is.
So you asked, you know, do I go to slashers for this? I think one of the reasons that I really like watching slashers, besides like the camp of it all, is that it does like force you to try to like pull something out of it. And mm-hmm. I feel like we have pulled a lot out of this already.
Yes, but is there a message? Was the question? Is there a message?
Like, I don't know if there is like a real true message.
I don't think there is. There's psychological things to delve into, but is there a message? I don't see a message, man.
I don't know. I don't think there is. But for like I also like to just use this segment. I should probably rename this, but I also like using this segment as just like, you know, what are like, if there isn't a message, what are like interpretations? Yeah. There's like tinfoil hat theories, as I say. And I think it's kind of hilarious if you want to put on your tinfoil hat and go, you know what? Maybe because they're both Christmas horror movies, mm-hmm. maybe the Billy from this is the same Billy killing the sorority sisters in Black Christmas. And
that's kind of interesting now.
What if it's that? And he doesn't like that they're sexual beings in that movie. That's like what ticks him off.
That's not a message, but that's an interesting take.
It's a tinfoil hat thing that I use for the segment.
To be honest, why not? Yes. 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 So what this is a prequel to that. That's what this is. Or something like, I don't know. But yes, the two films are connected. I like it. Go for it.
Yeah. And never mind that Billy gets killed in this. It could be his brother or him. But
it's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, but that's all I got.
Sounds good.
That's all I got for this.
Sounds good. And honestly, I'm really impressed that you were able to get that much out.
Thank you. Moving on to our last and final segment, the Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, I got a good one. I got a good one. Go for it. Read it.
What is a good movie prop or item from Silent Night, Deadly Night that we put in the Cabin in the Woods to summon our evil Santa, Billy? All right, Law, lay it on me. What do you
got? Okay, you know I love clothing, okay? And this movie was full of interesting clothing. Now, this jumped off the screen. There is the scene right when Billy is supposed to go out and play with other kids. And he goes off and he sees the people having hanky-panky in the room. Was she a nun? Was she a nun who's having hanging?
I wasn't sure how to read that.
I didn't know that either. I was, because if she's a nun, that's a big freaking deal. But if not, like, I didn't know if she was a nun or she was a kid. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I had questions about that scene. Anyway, Billy puts on a really cool, heavy, kind of like corduroy jacket. I put that down there. That's really cool. But here's what I really will put down there. If you go back and watch that scene, he's wearing like white snow boots. I don't even know what they are. Like, it's like white snow boots, white something. Oh my gosh. That's what I want. That is what I am putting in the basement of the cabin in the woods to summon. And last time I didn't want to summon Victor Frankenstein. I wanted to summon the creature. I want Billy. Billy's a, he's a good hang. He's a cool guy. He'll show me how to kill people with kids' toys. And so, yes, I want Billy to come, and I will put those boots, and those boots would summon Billy. Because those boots, if you go back and watch them, they are freaking awesome. I loved those boots.
I do remember those.
They're boots, like leather or rubber. No, they're like rubbery or something. Oh my gosh, they were wonderful. They were wonderful. Delightful. If I could wear those boots now, I would wear them, man. Like, I love them.
That's so funny. I love that. The white boots.
They're great. They're great boots, man. Oh my gosh, those boots were wonderful. I mean, because it's easy to say, okay, give me the axe. Man, get out of here with the axe. You know, you could say, give me the Santa costume. Get out of here with the Santa costume. You probably will say something like that. But those boots, man, those boots are legendary. They're great. I want those boots.
These boots were made for walking.
Oh, all right, look at you. Look at you.
I have a short list. The one thing I think the first thing I came up with when watching it, but we do get this very tense scene where he is after he's killed the babysitters, and he's talking to the little girl, and she thinks that he's Santa. He's like asking, you've been good, blah blah blah, and he gifts her the bloody box cutter, and I'm putting that down in the basement.
And it's so twisted. That's terrible.
She's confused.
Of course she's confused. She's like, what is this?
This wasn't on my list, Santa. the used bloody box cutter putting down there. I'm also going to put down there like an open box of like Christmas lights. And the trick is, you know, if you use them and use it for decoration, that activates him. Now he's going to come and strangle you with
them. Oh my gosh. That's terrible. That's terrible.
I'm just using the text of the movie. okay, the last one I have is there's a cassette player in there, and it has a tape. And if you play the tape, it plays that wild song during like the 2-minute montage of him in the toy store.
I know.
The warm side of the door, or whatever the fuck. I have no idea what they're singing.
I didn't know what they were talking about, but it was funny as heck, though.
And that song plays, and that song summons Crazy Billy, the warm side of the door.
Oh,
the
dorm's goodness.
Warm with your blood. Yeah, so that's a. That's what I have down in the basement.
That was crazy. Yeah, no, those are all good, man. I'm just happy you didn't go with like the axe. Man, the axe is too easy. That's simple.
Right.
But no, the box cutter is twisted. The Christmas lights, I'm with it. I like the Christmas lights, right? And that cassette and cassette player, chef's kiss. Brilliant. Good job.
You know what else might be down there? But the thing is, I don't know. It would be in the cabin, and wouldn't be in the basement, though.
Okay.
Is the mounted deer.
Yeah, it would be. You can put it in the basement if you want to. Like if the basement is your man cave, then you might put mounted deer down there in the basement. I mean, you already put all kinds of weird crap down there already.
A lot of stuff down there.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's able to carry all that. I'm surprised
it's a Mary Poppins like basement.
I'm surprised your wife hasn't said, "Gotta clean up your basement. This is crazy." But
I'm going down there to get the Black Santa. I'm right back there.
But no. I think that the deer would definitely fit down there.
Yes. All right, and that is everything I have for Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Great film, guys. Great film. Do not listen to Brucker. I don't know how many times I've had to say this. Don't listen to what he's talking about, guys. Great film. Watch it. Watch the film. You will enjoy it. It is streaming right now on Shudder. I want to say it's streaming other places, and go watch the remake. I'm interested in what they're going to do with it.
Yes, I will say I have warmed up to the movie a little bit as you
a lot of it. It's clearly a lot of it, not even a little bit. It's clearly you've really warmed up to the film.
I enjoyed the conversation, and you know, I enjoyed talking to my horror bestie, and that's always a good time.
So. Oh, that's so sweet. Oh, we're horror besties. look, I'm so sad that I wasn't able to help you work through your feelings about Santa, but at least you were able to kind of come to terms with how cool, if nothing else, this film is.
Yeah, we did find a lot of stuff to talk about, so I'm definitely happy about that. Again, and thank you everybody that voted for this. Please be sure that you're following guys. on all the socials at Brucker Horror. That way you catch these votes when they do happen. But yeah, watch some good movies. Have happy holidays, everyone. And we'll see you in the new year with some episodes. I'm really excited about some stuff that we have coming up in January.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
All right, see everyone. Bye-bye.